Ready? Up top. Hello, everyone. I'm Koshin.
And I am Chodo. And we are with you here from New York in the time of COVID-19. We'll be speaking today on love in the time of COVID. That's one of the things we'll be touching in on today. I'd like to start by reading a short piece from a student of ours who passes along from a friend of hers. Her name is Michelle Riddell of Byron, Michigan. So it's a really beautiful, as I said, short piece talking about what is going on right now. It's called, or titled, You Will Want to Remember This. Maybe not next year or the year after, but someday when the shock and horror wear off, when we are sitting next to each other at, say, a baby shower or a band concert, so close that my sleeve brushes yours and we exchange a look that recalls these strange days, you will want to. You will want to remember how it felt to wake up in the morning, how it took a moment for the cloud of sleep to lift, and then another for the cloud of day to settle, and how you would ask yourself, what did I do yesterday? Did I shower? Did it rain? You will want to remember how you passed the time, how you became mesmerized by colorful cardboard shapes and lettered tiles and playing cards, how you drifted off in thought mid-turn, worrying about the kids from school. You will want to remember how at last, when you had all the time in the world to read, you couldn't tame your mind beyond a sentence. Maybe, like me, you lost yourself in a closet or a drawer, emerging hours later, aimlessly clutching saved baby clothes and keychains brought on vacation. Maybe, like me, you felt guilt and relief about being healthy, safe, spared. Maybe like me, you cried watching a music video someone shared on Facebook, a dreamy, haunting rendition of a day in the life, so harrowingly beautiful it hurt. You will want to remember how in this time some people turned inward, some to nature, some to humor, some to God. How when we all felt helpless. Some made bread, others art. Some made masks, others wore them. How phrases like virus shedding and social distancing became part of our vernacular. How we ran out of ways to say unprecedented. How we kept running tallies of our infected and our dead. How you stopped caring or started caring or wished you had been a better daughter. You will want to remember how you changed, how you went from the rigid enforcer to letting your kids to eat cake in their bedroom, how you learned to wait, how you learned what mattered. Maybe you made a schedule, maybe you upheld the bedtime routine, maybe you called your mom at midnight just to hear her sigh and tell you to get some sleep. You need to remember this. I want you to remember this. Because years from now, a lifetime from now, when we're leaving somewhere, saying goodbye, when I'm hugging you tight and tighter still, and we both laugh, and yet I don't let go, you will know why. So thank you, Michelle Riddell of Byron, Michigan, whom I've never met. We've never met, but beautiful, beautiful words.
So we're so happy to be with you and for us to be together in this time of COVID. And this, you know, a friend of ours was saying, like, there's life now before COVID or BC, and now there's this life. And what we've been discovering ourselves about how important love is. And oftentimes, in my experience, in the Buddhist teachings, we don't talk about it so directly And today we wanted to share with you some of our thoughts and reflections on love in this time and how we can learn to love even more and maybe in different ways than we're normally think of loving. So one of the images from the Buddhist tradition that moves us is the image of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. And often she is seen, you know, in flowing robes and in repose. And she is of service in the world. And she's of service in the world by how she just hears the cries of the world. Her name means the one who hears the cries of the world. So to think about loving in that way, loving by just receiving the cries.
Yeah, and Avalokiteshvara is asking us to embody all the qualities and the radiance that she possesses. Avalokiteshvara has 1,000 arms, and in each hand there's a tool to help us. In the older statues, there's a rope and maybe a hammer, the sword, a lasso. Today we could probably see her with
a Zoom account.
iPhone, iPad, which is how we're talking to you now, or in this time, masks,
gloves,
face shields, bandages, a sandwich, water. In each of these hands, she's holding something to help us, she's offering. And at the same time, she's hearing the cries of the patients in the hospitals, of those that are caring for the patients, of those who are separated from their loved ones, offering compassion, offering a way out, not a way out, but a way to be with the suffering. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful image of the nurses and the doctors and the EMS on the front lines working so tirelessly. And if for a moment they were able to stop, if they were given the opportunity to stop and really think about this beautiful, in Japanese, Kanon, who holds all the tools that we need to find some respite and to find some help, to give. Pretty good.
To be of service in the world. And what we've been exploring is how in this time of social isolation and really kind of looking, turning that a little bit and learning how to be physically distant and yet more socially connected, learning how important Sangha is. So the love of Sangha and the love of one another. And because of that, we wanted to share with you some of the, from the ancient Greek, the different forms of love. And just, there are so many, but we wanted to share a few of them. And the first one is phila. And that's known as affectionate love. And it's about how to engage in deep conversation with a friend. So for us, these are practices that we've been engaging with each other and with our Sangha members and with the patients that we serve. And we were just on a call with, 50 young physicians, and to be open and trustworthy is part of this kind of love, of phila, of affectionate love, and to be supportive in hard times. And so one of the things that I've been thinking about is how important it is to maintain eye contact, for example, is a way of showing affection, that not turning away, And very often in these times, that there's not much to say sometimes, but learning how to just, you know, show up for someone that you've been thinking about and saying, I see you. And to be curious about how they're working. In particular, there's so much fear and anxiety in this time that we're truly in the great unknown. And some of us have the time to reflect, and some of us are worried about, you know, where we're going to get food and what are we going to do for work and where can I live now? And so these deep insecurities that have, in some ways, you know, the unknown has always been true, but during this time of coronavirus, it feels like it's just the mirror is just so close. And so how do we use this time to really ignite our practice, reawaken our practice, so that we can practice this form of phila, of affectionate love, and being interested in, like, actually how you're doing inside of yourself, being really curious. So if you live with someone or even a neighbor, can you give them a call and see how they're doing? And to think about people in your life who might be alone, for example, or feel alone, and how do we reach out to them? And to be open in that conversation and trustworthy, say, like, do what you say you're going to do. Is this part of love, feel a love? So being consistent, but of course we're never always good at it. You know, I don't know anyone who's always good at anything.
I think I am.
Except Chodo. Chodo's always good at everything. And
especially when it comes to feeling.
Well, and also to... to be supportive in hard times. But I think actually humor is a really wonderful way to be supportive in hard times, because this time is so difficult that one of the ways to be supportive is, you know, to have a laugh about how crazy this is. You know, we've been inside this house for, I don't even know how long. And
92 days, I think.
92 days we've been inside, and it's incredible. And so how do we learn how to have that kind of loving where we are supportive and engaged? How do you do that? How do each of us take on this kind of love, this kind of compassion, to show up, be trustworthy, and to be a good friend?
Well done. The next one is pragma, enduring love, mature love that develops over time. Pragma is unique bonded love that matures over many years. It's an everlasting love between a couple that chooses to put equal effort into their relationship. You get it? Did you hear that?
How's that going?
Pretty good. Yeah. It's almost 20 years of this enduring relationship. It's instead of falling in love, you're standing in love with your partner, the one that you want by your side for as long as we can have each other, standing side by side in love, not falling in love. And how to show this pragma is to continue to strengthen the bond of long-term relationships. Seek and show effort with your partner. Choose to work with your partner forever. How do we do that? How do we stand in love together? How do we keep this love an enduring process? This time of COVID has really
shaken,
you know, all relationships. Well, many, many relationships have been shaken by this whole shelter in place that we're experiencing right now. 92 days in the same space. We get to take a walk, maybe for half an hour each day if we're lucky, because we're so busy now with Zoom commitments and meetings and more work than ever. I myself am leading 3 bereavement groups right now on Zoom. You're interviewing and working on so much other stuff too. So it's now we're on, it seems to be that I'm on Zoom 8 to 10 hours a day now, with an hour most of break. And how do I, even in exhaustion and the work that I'm doing, I love it. I wouldn't be doing anything else with my life. But how do I find the time just to stand in love with my partner?
Exactly.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, those moments of respite where between 2 interviews or 2 groups, those 5 to 10 minutes to pop into the other room where Koshin is teaching or Koshin is TikToking. I catch Koshin TikToking every once in a while, or Instagramming. No, not very often. But. So how do when I walk into the room where Koshin's working away, and I feel very sorry for Koshin because, we're in this small 1-bedroom apartment. Koshin is actually sitting on the floor in the bedroom at the foot of the bed with a screen behind him. It looks like we're in this huge, huge zendo. And it's like this. And I get to be in the living room on the desk with the desktop. How do I show him this enduring love? Just to put my head in the door and say, how are you doing? Do you want some water? I'm about to cook lunch. Can you wait for 30 minutes? And then I'll prepare lunch or prepare dinner.
In a really loving way.
I present it in a way that is not just thrown together, which we can do in the office at the center, for instance. We kind of run to the deli and get some food that's in silver foil or on a paper plate. But here, some of the things that have actually changed are the way that we are in relationship to each other. I think if anyone that endures this moment in time where so many people are being separated from each other, so many people are unable to stay in relationship in such close quarters.
Also the rise of domestic violence and divorce during this time.
Right, right. It's really important. You just threw me right way off my train of thought there. Lovingly. But you did.
So
I have no idea what I was talking about. That's gone.
But I think it's important. You were talking about that yesterday, about, also during this time, that there's also so much divorce and domestic violence. So the other side of enduring love is real pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Love comes into... I'm seeing many different ways love comes into relationships now with my bereavement groups. There is so much heartbreak with 2 or 3 people in one of the groups who've lost a loved one to COVID. And there's no way to grasp it right now because they're 1 minute they're in their apartment or walking down the street, and the next minute they're in hospital and they never see them again. So that is such a tragedy. That is such a, how would one find love again after that? That's the question. I've lost the person I love most in the world. How can that ever be replaced when I didn't get the chance to tell them how much I love them, to hold their hand? It's really heartbreaking. We're so lucky, those of us who have so far not fallen ill to this awful, awful virus. We're now at 100,000 here in the United States. In New York City, 20,000 deaths. So, when people talk about the epicenter, this really is it. So if they can find a way to stay in relationship in the midst of the epicenter.
Where it's respectful and loving.
And loving, respectful relationships here. That is the test. This is where Avalokiteshvara or Kanan, is standing right in the middle of all this, in the middle of the epicenter, saying, I have everything you need. You can just ask and look for it and work with all the tools that are available to you.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, and I also was thinking about enduring love of Sangha, you know, that same, that kind of love also reflects in Sangha, like the enduring long relationships in Sangha. You know, we've really seen in our community, these people have been, you know, we've been practicing together for some of us 13 plus years. And it's so amazing to see that kind of love, Sangha, enduring love, and learning how to show up for each other. And so this ties to the next form of love that we wanted to talk about, which is storage. And which is traditionally thought of the kind of love between parents and children, as well as best friends. So this kind of very, and it's built on acceptance and deep emotional connection. So like how to really think about, I keep thinking about the, how rare that is. And the, you know, folks in our community, what a treasure it is. I've really just been thinking so much about love in Sangha during this time, because many of us do not have those many loving relationships over time. And so this kind of respectful love and the deep emotional connection, to be really curious about how people are inside of themselves, is so beautiful and such a gift. You know, I've heard so many people say these days, like, I don't know how people are going through this without Sangha, mm-hmm. without that kind of love. And, you know, it's kind of the, also some of the attributes of this kind of love in Sangha and in relationships are, you know, willing to just not think about time as yours, but also about like, how can I show up for others? So like we've been having sits sometimes twice a day, and just how important it is for people to show up for each other and with each other. And some people say, like, oh, I didn't feel like it, but I know how important it is to show up.
We have a community that we created about 2 years ago, Wisdom Sangha, which is the elders in the community. We meet every 2 weeks on the second Friday of the month. Sorry, every 2 weeks on Friday evenings. And during this time of unknowing, of unknowingness, uncertainty, and fear, to have a group of 30 or 40 elders in the community, and not just our Sangha, but from the community at large, speaking around their own fears of living alone, mm-hmm. Isolated, in this time, who would take care of them if they became sick, if they fell ill to this during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so for them to be able to come to the center or now online and just really feel that they're not isolated, that we can check in with each other.
What about your meals together?
We have a virtual dinner together.
Beautiful.
At 6:30, we all get our dinner ready, and then we're sitting down in front of the computer and everyone's kind of sharing what they cooked or what they're snacking on. This last Friday, we had everyone bring their favorite poem, talking about why this poem in this time. It's really, really another way. And it's kind of, I feel like the parent. And even though, well, I'm the same age as some of them, and some of them are much older than I am, but I feel like in some way that I'm parenting them. Not in an overt way, but
storage.
Just kind of creating this container in which we can meet and feel that we are not isolating, and that we are, there is someone out there that's going to take care of us. That's the kind of love, that parenting, that taking care of another. Mm-hmm. And the parent can be younger than the child, you know, in this kind of environment.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think it's also, you know, like what you're saying is part of this kind of love is sharing memories and sharing memorable moments, which is showing up for each other mm-hmm. in a ritual. I mean, it's so beautiful to see that I'm not really invited, but piqued and just show that, you know, just saying like, oh, what do you have for dinner? You know, and so it's so beautiful. And I think it's showing people this kind of love is also about showing how much you care. Like learning to do that is so important, to learn how to show your care, or as the Buddha talks about, that our actions are our true belongings. So this kind of storage is the kind of love that is saying, like, how are you showing through your actions how you love?
I love that you slipped this one into my lap. Well, this is philautia or philautia. Having healthy self-compassion, love toward oneself. That's the difficult one for me. And I'm sure that some people out there can relate to the difficulty of this for themselves too. How to show philautia, create an environment that nurtures your well-being. Well, we've certainly done this in our apartment. My star sign is Cancer, and if I buy into that, you know, if any of us buy into that, the cancer, we've never talked about astrology, right? All these years.
Why not?
So, my star sign is Cancer, which means that next month will be my birthday.
Exactly.
All right. Just reminding you there. And Cancer is the homemaker. And I've always been the homemaker, the one that really creates the environment that is welcoming, that is cozy, the kitchen. You know, there's always something being cooked in the kitchen. You know, I kind of just like, yeah, really create a beautiful home. But to take care of yourself like a parent would care for a child, that is not me.
It wasn't your experience.
It wasn't my experience. I didn't have that parent that took care of me. I took care of the parent, basically. I took care of my challenged mother, shall we say. So it's really difficult to, I've had to work at it for many, many years to nurture myself, and it's been a very difficult journey, and I can easily slip into low self-esteem, not worthy of. You can even sit in our beautiful apartment and think, I don't deserve this, you know. And then, you know, fortunately I have a partner who says, snap out of it.
Shut up.
This is real, Chodo. This is what we've created together. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You're living in some story, but it's so easy for me to click back into that story of not being worthy.
So far.
And the way to alleviate that suffering for me and philautia is to spend time around people who support you. So, of course, I have a partner that supports me unconditionally. And a community. I have a beautiful sangha, and because one of the reasons that I think that
and a loving teacher.
I was about to say that actually.
Yeah, fantastic.
People experience me as the not only the old grouch in the community, the old grouchy teacher, you know, but also the vulnerable one, the one who's able to just put it all out there on the table. And sometimes when I'm putting out there on the table my depression, my feelings of not being worthy, which are all part of my story and all part of who I am, the support and the love that comes back from the community is so, so precious. As you were saying earlier, it's how do we give and receive? You know, how do we, what we put out there is what we get back. And so this showing of support and love in this time of Corona. I can't tell you how many people have emailed or on Zoom, because I'm in that age bracket that is one of the most vulnerable. Chodo, are you okay? Please take care of yourself. Can we send you some food? We know you, these are your favorite things, and you can't go out and get them. And, so it's been just a beautiful outpouring of that kind of love.
And how's it been to receive it?
Receiving it is not so easy. I'm filled with gratitude, and I'm filled with, again, this word love that is coming up. So this topic is, on the one hand, it's not so easy to receive that kind of care from others. I'm a great caregiver, but a care receiver, not so much.
Yeah, you can. It's just hard.
And when you've been together for so long, your partner tends to finish your sentences for you, even before you've formulated the thought.
So and who's your partner?
My partner, Koshin. So would you like to just continue?
No, no. I'm just participating.
So yeah, that's where I am right now in this conversation. Anyway, take it away.
In the last form of love that we wanted to talk about is, well, even some of us know it the most, which is agape, which is just, I think of it as free, loving freely without the expectation of its equal return. It's just offering love, right? Offering our loving presence, reminding the person that we love, you know, that they actually do receive love, for example, for me is a form of that. It's like, I don't expect it that even to be fully received, but I can offer it as a loving gesture like I just did, you know, because it's part of my experience. I experienced Chodo actually in moments receiving the love. And I just like to remind him of that's my experience. And again, it's not about, you know, that's right or wrong, but it's my experience. And it's thought in the ancient Greeks, thought of it as the greatest love that one can offer. And, you know, in the Jewish tradition, it's kind of like washing someone's body is thought to be the greatest mitzvah, the greatest good deed, because there's no chance that someone can return it. So I think that form, and I feel like it goes so well with our Buddhist practice, you know, that we do things not to receive, but we do things because we just participate. We help, you know, someone because they've called and asked for help. We just participate. And I think what's so important is that for me, it so much reminds me of kind of going back. Agape, in some ways, is the expression of Avalokiteshvara, of that kind of compassion, that kind of compassionate love, that we just see someone and realize that offering our full attention and our eyes and our awareness and hearing their cry and being curious about them is also a way that we can live by vow. And I think that, you know, love is a way to live, right? And it's also a vow that we can root deeply in our experience, deep in our, you know, we talk about it in Zen, about in our heart, which is in your belly, the bottom of your belly, and then widening it out. So like really having this vow to be of service in the world. Mm-hmm. It's agape is the bodhisattva love, right? And just being really conscious and taking full responsibility for our actions, which is another part of agape. It's about, wow, I'm responsible and you're responsible and we're all responsible for how we show up. And how are we going to participate together? So
I think we've seen so many in this time of COVID, we've seen so many examples of selfless love. So many people coming together here in Manhattan, here in New York anyway. People just without making too much fuss about it or any fuss about it, bringing food to others. And God's love, we deliver, you know, delivering a million meals a day. People getting together, fashion designers, making masks for during the shortage of masks.
Neighbors bringing other people food.
Right, checking in on them, saying hello to people they've never said hello to before on the street. You know, it's so amazing how the people, like our neighbors, that you even recognize who they are, even though they're wearing this mask. You see their eyes now much more clearly because that's what you know, that's what's in front of you right now. That's the eyes of a person. And in our neighborhood anyway, walking the street to the store, people just saying, hello, how are you doing? You know, in this mask. Can I help you? I know a couple of days ago, I was coming back from the store with three bags of shopping and, you know, clearly struggling, you know, because like many of us, I'm over shopping in case, you know, we can't go to the store again. And this perfect stranger said, you know, can I help you with one of your bags? I was like, wow, absolutely. And I'm not sure it's because he thought I was this old dotty guy, but maybe with the mask on, he couldn't see my youthful visage. But it was so beautiful. And that was a moment of being able to accept something other than just, it wasn't just help, it was a really an act of compassion. Mm. You know, someone actually seeing another in this time. And I think if anything we could hope for to come out of this this period that we're in right now is a much more
loving world.
Loving world and a way of being in relationship that is different. There are many occurrences right now of that not happening. You know, we've all seen the news of atrocious behavior in certain parts of the country. And here in Central Park just recently. But that's not the the main, you know, there's so much love that's being that abounds right now. It's kind of beautiful. You know, it's a pity that this is, you know, this is coming out of such a awful time, but you know, it's beautiful that it is happening. Mm.
Yeah, so we want to close and just, you know, appreciate that, like in the beautiful writing that Chodo began with, that is so moving, you know, what we want to remember, but also it's about how do we want to live, right? And how do we use this time to reawaken and reignite actually how we want to be in the world? And how do we create a more loving and respectful world? And to me, and I think for us, it begins with our actions. And I think of that amazing, you know, poet Hafez when he says, you know, fear is the cheapest room in the house. Oh, how I wish for you to have better living conditions. It's like we are contracted into these little spaces now, but and yet we can leave the little spaces right in the midst of it and actually participate in loving relationships with our friends, with our family. Learn how to do things anew. Widen out, love our sanghas, show up in a sangha. It's never been easier. And have a beautiful and loving life. So when the pain comes, we can be supported and nurtured.
I was just thinking, something came to my mind while you were talking. The story of Ryokan tells about the hut, the moon, the burglar, the robber. Tell that story, that really selfless act of love.
Mm. So there's a story that we'll close with. Beautiful Rinzai monk, and actually I'm not sure if he's Rinzai, but he's a Zen monk, and named Ryokan, who's an amazing poet, and lived alone in a hut, and he came back to his hut at night and he found a robber there. And the robber was very surprised to see him, and he felt so bad that there was nothing for the robber in his little hut to take. And so he took off his robes that he was wearing, which is his only possession, and gave them to the robber, who was very surprised. And the robber ran away with the robes. And he went outside naked, looking up at the moon, and said, "Oh, if only I could have given this moon to him, this moonlight, I would have." So that kind of love, about really thinking about the beauty that lives as well as the terror of these times. Mm-hmm. So we wish you well. And I love you.
I love you, and I love.
And thank you for this time with you.
Are we going to do meditation?
Yes.
Yes.
But let's. Okay. Yeah.
So I'd like to sit with you for maybe 8 minutes, and to like to dedicate the merit of this past time that we've spent with you and this meditation to all those who have succumbed to the virus, 100,000 thus far in the States and 20,000 in New York State. The number is still rising slowly. To those who were taking care of the folks, the people succumbing to COVID, the family members who were not able to see their loved ones in their last moments, to those living in fear, those living alone, and those who will succumb. Like to dedicate love, compassion, healing to all those, and to all sentient beings across the globe who are also experiencing this pandemic. So find a position that's comfortable for you. Whether you're sitting in a chair, on a sofa, or if you're lucky enough to have a zabuton and a zafu at home, find your chair, find your seat, find your place. And just notice right now the temperature in the room. Notice any sounds, both inside the room and outside the room, unless you're lucky enough to be sitting way, way away from the traffic. Here in Manhattan, there's still traffic. It's picking up again now. So I'm hearing the cars outside. Just notice how your body feels right now. Any stiffness, any place that needs attention. And imagine bringing the breath, your inhalation, to any of the parts of the body that need attention. Not to hang out there, but to just bring a little lightness, a little ease. Imagining the breath, the in-breath going down. If your pain is in your knees or your quadriceps, the breath going down to that area. Just as I said, to bring a little lightness, to create some ease. Bring your awareness to your breath, to each in-breath as it enters through the nostrils into the body, the lungs expanding, the rib cage opening slightly. Just notice how the body feels when we inhale. And then what happens in the body as you exhale? Honoring and acknowledging each in-breath bringing life into the body. Each exhalation is like a mini death, the breath leaving the body. The last thing we do is exhale. So to really appreciate the breath, the in-breath. Use the breath as an anchor to keep you present to this moment, not getting lost in thoughts of the future, dwelling in the past. All we have is this moment. So if you find yourself wandering off in thought and story, simply use the breath to come back to the center without judgment. Just come back to the center. Being with the breath. And we'll sit now for, let's say, 5 minutes. Notice where your mind is right now. Come back to your breath. Using your in-breath to bring you back to center. Thank you all so much for your practice, for being with us both today. I just want to remind you of that beautiful piece I read at the beginning. You will want to remember this. Please remember this. Don't forget. the lessons that we learned, that you learned, we all learned in this time of COVID-19. The lessons of how to be with each other, how to love each other, how to respect each other. And hopefully, once this is all over, we will continue to do that. Koshin, do you want to come and say goodbye? Koshin made me a lovely cup of matcha. Yeah. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.